Welcome to Q&A with TNK. They've surfed the interwebs. They've contemplated, ruminated, and speculated. They've checked the teletype, and now they're ready to answer your questions. Here are your hosts, Tiffany and Kristen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Q&A with TNK. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Tiffany.
And we have a special guest.
Yeah.
Savannah.
Hi.
You've heard her. You've heard us talk about her a lot lately.
Yeah.
We're kind of in love.
Always in love.
Yeah. So we thought it would be really cool to bring her on for this question. This is a question we got via the Upstairs Studio Facebook page. You want to read it and who it's from?
Savannah, what do you do and how do you know us?
Well, I am Tiffany's friend from the dog park and then from everything in life. and I run an infant toddler childcare program in Portland, Oregon.
And we started working in childcare at about the same time, right?
Yes, I think we were both doing a little bit of nannying and then sort of moved into more official things right after we met each other.
Yeah, because you were applying to jobs at awesome schools.
Yes, yeah, I got my first preschool job a little while after we met at a really amazing preschool. I've had the great luck to only work in really excellent programs.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So that's a little background about Savannah.
So
she's a baby expert.
Yeah. And I'm not a mommy expert, but I am a mom. So
that leads us into this question.
Yeah.
From Stacy F. in Iowa. Tiffany, what are you anxious about as a new parent? What are you most looking forward to? And Kristen, what advice do you have?
Awesome. Okay, so let's start with the first part of the question.
Yeah, we're going to stick to we've got the baby expert. We've got the mom. Tell me all the things I need to know, guys.
So we don't get to do the anxious part, or like, what are you nervous about?
We can do that too.
Should we do that the next episode?
We can do that another time.
So we're going to give you advice.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I'll go first.
Okay.
Actually, let's go. Maybe we should go back and forth. So I do a little bit and then Savannah does a little bit and then I do a little bit. Mine might be kind of just things that are like just things I think of right away when I think of maybe childbirth or being a new mom and that those first months of being a mom and having a baby.
Yeah.
So the first thing,
period, right?
Yeah. The first thing that I'm going to do, I just want to tell you a couple little things to bring with you to the hospital that maybe nobody else has taught you to bring to the hospital.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
And I'm not doing this as scary. I'm just simply doing it because you'll thank me.
Okay.
Stool softeners.
Okay.
You don't want those boulders coming come down the gorge. You need to soften them up a little bit. Stool softeners are a thing, and like if you have to buy them at the hospital, they would charge you so much extra.
Oh no. Okay.
So bring your own.
Okay. I'm taking notes.
And the second is bring your own maxi pads.
Ah.
Some nice little, you know, I mean, you want them to be able to soak up a little. But the ones that they have at the hospital, at least this is in Minnesota, they're like diapers.
Wow.
And you don't really want to wear a diaper home from the hospital. You're going to need them right away because you do have a lot of
fluid
stuff that comes out of you after having a baby. I mean, you have been holding stuff in there for 9 months and so then it sheds out. So you do need to have like big ones. Mm-hmm. Also, purchase some like granny panties, like bigger, thicker underwear, like fuller coverage mm-hmm. that you can wear home from the hospital too, that you can just throw away when you're done with them.
Okay.
Yeah, you're gonna want those. Just and maybe like a size bigger than you normally would wear.
Yeah. Maximum comfort.
They're comfortable.
Do you want them to go up high?
No. You don't need to. Yeah.
Just
kind
of where they sit usually, but a little floppier on the backside.
Right.
Okay.
Just a little room.
Okay.
To house a pad.
Okay.
So those are things that I didn't know my first baby and wish that somebody had shared with me.
Good to know.
But that's the only kind of advice I'm going to give you about that type of thing.
Okay. All right. I welcome it all. So.
Okay. Now, Savannah, you're next.
Mm-hmm. Well, first, I'm really glad that there was some talk about poop right away.
Good.
It wouldn't be a conversation with Tiffany if there wasn't poop involved.
I was giving a tour at the baby school this morning, and the little girl tooted this really big toot. And her parents are like, oh, no. And I said, don't worry. If I was shy about that, I would be in the wrong business. Open to it. So I guess the first advice that I'll give is another, like, let's just look at the realistic thing. It is okay for your baby to cry. You know, it's your job to try to sort those things out, to try to learn what they're communicating with you. But you're not doing things wrong if your baby sometimes cries. If your baby cries a lot, some babies cry a lot, and that's okay. We, at the baby school, sometimes we, I'm in the toddler room right now, and sometimes the toddlers hear the babies crying from the back room, and so many of them will say, like, oh, crying, bad, and I always try to tell them, like, oh, I hear a baby crying too. They might be sad, or they might just be trying to tell their teacher something. Mm-hmm. They might just be trying to tell them that they need a diaper change or that they're hungry. And that's the way that the babies talk to us. And, you know, there's so much association with crying and sadness. It's really, really hard to shake. But just keeping in mind all the time that crying is communication. And that's the only thing that they can really do to communicate with you. And so just, like, settling in to hearing that and trying to learn from it rather than feeling like you need to fix it.
Good advice, guys.
I wish I knew Savannah when I was a new mom.
Number two, and I'm going to cry already.
It's okay for mom to cry, too.
Okay, my next little bit of advice is don't be too stressed out if things don't work out the way you planned them to work out. I'm almost talking specifically about, I'm just going to use an example. So when I had my first daughter, you know, I wanted to breastfeed. That's the healthiest thing. And I basically felt like I'd be poisoning my baby if I didn't breastfeed them. So it was really, really hard for me when breastfeeding did not work.
Yeah.
And then I switched to pumping. And then it was so traumatic for me to realize that pumping just was too stressful for me. And I went through some major, like, emotional stuff. Like, just feeling rotten about myself for, like, giving my baby formula. But it's okay. I mean, if you just have to, if certain things don't work for you, that society maybe has those pressures of, like, you need to do this, or this is the only way to do it. It's not the only way to do it. There's other ways. And to not feel down on yourself because you have to change the way you're doing something because it doesn't work for you and the baby.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do what works.
Do what works and don't feel bad.
Will do.
Yeah. I feel like that leads really well into another thing that I wanted to say, which was try to be just be your authentic self with your baby. So, you know, you might have this really lovely idea of what things are going to be like and what type of parent you want to be, but the very best parent you can be, or, you know, just the best way to make a relationship that matters, with another person is to be your authentic self. So, you know, if you're always thinking of, I'm going to be this type of mom, or I'm going to, you know, do things in this specific way, like, you know, breastfeeding or anything. And you're thinking too much about trying to be that way and not enough about the relationship, then, you know, it just might not feel good for either of you, or anyone in your family. Mm-hmm. Like, what feels best is being true to you, and your family will find its way to be a family that is uniquely your own. And I think you just feel so much more comfortable in that relationship if you let go of, it's impossible to completely let go, of course, but just be conscious of trying to let go of those preconceived ideas about how things should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiffany, you've got some really good friends, girl.
I love my friends. Oh my goodness.
This is a practical one. Go to a car seat class.
Oh.
And figure out the real way, like the right and wrong ways to buckle your child, how to fasten it in the car. In Minnesota, you can take like a car seat safety class. It's like 3 hours. You learn so much. And it forever changes the way that you like buckle in your children. I think you can also, like in Minnesota, you can go to the police station and they'll actually install your car seats for you so that it's done correctly in the car.
Wow.
There's certain ways to make sure that the car seat is buckled in correctly. That's super important. There's so many times, because I've taken the class many times, we have to take it for childcare in Minnesota.
Weird.
If you're transporting children.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes more sense.
So there's so many things about buckling a baby into a car seat. And then even like, you know, the infant carriers that you slide into the little base in the back of your car.
Yeah.
You can't have anything hanging from the handle. Like those toys are not safe that go on the handles of the car seat that buckle on there.
Yeah.
It's not safe. Anything that you add to, like sometimes there's things that you can add to like the straps of the car seat to keep their head from rolling around.
Uh-huh.
Not safe.
What?
Because if you have the car seat base installed correctly, their head won't be tipped too far forward.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Also, you can't have like the sunshade up when you're in the car on the car seat, and the handle has to be down. You have to pull the handle down when you're in the car driving.
Wow.
So there's things to learn about using a car seat. So I would definitely look into that.
Yeah. That sounds more helpful than the newborn care classes that they offer.
Yeah.
I have friends who did them and they were like, we spent the entire time like racing each other who could swaddle a baby the fastest.
Yeah.
And in reality, like, who cares how fast you swaddle your baby?
Right.
Yeah, you probably don't want to swaddle it fast.
Right, exactly. You probably want to like take the time to explain to the baby what's going like
Yeah.
Yeah. Car seat safety.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
Yeah. All right, Savannah.
Yeah. All right. One of the things that I think, so I am not a parent, but I get to see a lot of parenting styles, and it's, you know, really interesting to see even the youngest babies, the way that their kind of home life and just the way that their parents are impact what they need when they're really tiny. You know, I feel like you can see that with older kids too, but it's fascinating how early that stuff happens. So I think just to be aware of the fact that you can create needs. So, you know, you might have a baby that needs to be rocked to sleep. There really needs to be rocked to sleep every time for a while, and it'll take a long time to get to a place where they can sleep independently. But you might have a baby who just takes a little while to get to sleep every time, and maybe they're fussy and you are helping them and supporting them through it. But you start rocking them because it's lovely to hold a baby in your arms and rock them. And they feel happy and you feel happy. And then you do that every time. And then that baby has a need to be rocked asleep because they don't know anything else. A lot of things that later, when they're a little bit older, will be self-care sorts of situations. You can create a lot of need by stepping in before it's necessary. Mm. You know, so it's nice to, I'm not into cry it out stuff, but I am really supportive of letting kids do what they can themselves and stepping in when you are needed and being there to support emotionally through any challenges. Mm-hmm. But you probably both have had kids in your preschools who don't know how to put on their shoes. Because when they're babies, they don't know how to put on their shoes and they need to. They need their parents to put on their shoes for them. And then you just, like, as a parent doing it every day, there's not a day when suddenly, like, oh, they can put on their own shoes. You just have built all of these habits. And the kids legitimately have a very hard time putting on their shoes because they don't have the motor memory to do those things. But so if you, sort of step back from just a moment and, think about, do I need to step in right now? Just wait a little bit longer and see what the baby can do on their own. As they get to be like a 6 month old and 6, 7, 8, 9, they start to be able to lift their hand into their shirt if you're holding it a certain way. And like all of these self-care things that you might do for them out of habit. Even the youngest babies are so much more competent than I think a lot of people give them credit for. Mm-hmm. So, letting them meet their own needs a little bit and not creating the need for you to help them with things is just, something to think about.
Yeah. And after visiting and spending like an hour at your school, those are some very capable babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
And they're all that capable.
See a meal.
No, we didn't get to see a meal. What's a meal like?
Well, we have these short, low to the ground tables and chairs that are toddler size. And the dining room is gated off because it's hard for kids to not eat food off of the floor when they're finished eating. Kids are done out. But when we open the gate into the dining room, the kids all rush in and they all pick a chair. They almost always pick a chair that nobody else is sitting in yet. And they climb into the chairs themselves. Most of them put on the buckles on the chairs themselves. And these kids are all like 17 to 28 months old right now. Starting from the time they're, I don't know, like really, as soon as they are physically able to climb into the chairs themselves, they start climbing into the chairs themselves. And we use metal lunch trays and forks and spoons and open cups. We don't use sippy cups. There's a learning curve for all of those things. But yeah, our special thing when you turn one for your first birthday is when you get to start using a plate. Like a little rite of passage at our school.
That's so cute.
Awesome. We always take a picture for the parents because it's their first time using the school plate. We talk a lot about if you bang your plate, we'll put it away. And, it's early days, we, of course, just give them their food on the table. We don't, like, now you don't give me food. Nothing like that. But, we just kind of talk them through at every mealtime what the expectations are with the materials and just respectfully sort of guide them into using them the proper way. They get up and clean their faces with a little cloth and they bring the cloth and put them in the laundry basket. And they're so they're so capable of so many, so many self-care things. And they're so interested in doing it themselves. They really, really want to do it themselves.
Yes.
And if they don't, you know, some of them like to rest or wipe their faces after meals. And it's like, it's a sweet, nice thing that we get to do with them. And we do that too. But yeah.
Baby. So this is another practical-ish one about right after the baby's born. Don't let the whole world into your hospital room. Like, keep that time for you and Kurt and your baby to bond, to really grasp breastfeeding, if that's what you're going to choose to do. When moms are anxious because there's people in the room and you're trying to breastfeed, or you know it's time to breastfeed and there's people in there and you're learning, and so you don't want everybody watching you, and you're like going to wait until they leave. Like, no, this is your time. And so take it. And it's really hard to tell people not to come visit you, but you need some time to just really bond and have that time together as a family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So do you recommend no visitors at all in the hospital? Wait till we come home?
I don't know. I think your mom and dad, yeah. But maybe so they come around a feeding schedule. I mean, just say, this is feeding time and you can come. And they... you can leave those directions with the nurses, too. You can tell the nurses, hey, don't let anybody in right now. I'm going to take a nap. Mm-hmm. And they will stop people from coming in your room and say, she's napping right now. I mean, use that to your advantage.
Yeah.
I've done it.
You went ultimate sneak on baby number 4.
Ultimate sneak.
Yeah. Have you told... Savannah, do you know what she did with baby number 4?
Baby number three. It was Channing. We didn't tell anybody we were having her. We had a scheduled C-section, and we told everybody a different date.
Wow!
My mom was so mad. Yeah.
And how did that experience compare for you?
It was really good. It was really nice to have just time for Steve and I and her and nobody else. It was great. Knox, my last one, his was a lot different. And it was a good experience too, because we had 3 other children that were super excited for him, and they were all there because nobody knew what he was going to be. And so they were all there when I got out of surgery at like 9 o'clock at night to see him and meet him. And it worked out well, because he ended up having to be put on a ventilator the next morning. And so then nobody was able to hold him or anything for the next 9 days. Our kids really couldn't even be in, he had to be like in the baby nursery. So in a little bed thing in there, and so nobody could really hold him for the next 9 days. So I would just take that time for you, a little bit of visitors here and there, but like, I wouldn't have everybody there present while you're in labor. It's stressful.
Yeah, that sounds stressful.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Maybe just don't even tell anybody you're there having it, just call them when it's done.
Good idea.
Yeah, that was my next one. Savannah, do you have any more? Yeah, we are running out of time. Mm-hmm. Do you have any last ones, Savannah?
Ooh. Okay. This is sort of related to yours too, and it transitions well. Is to find your support and tell people what you need.
Yeah. Ask for help was one of mine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell people what you need.
So like, I know a lot of people, when someone is going through something that is, you know, challenging or new, say like, let me know if you need anything. And that's a hard thing. You know, you can say yes to that, but it's hard to then come to a person and say, like, this is the thing I need. Mm-hmm. But I read advice once that you should, like, write a list of all of the things you could possibly need. Like, you should just tell Kurt every time that there's something like, oh, I really wish that someone would come and do all of our laundry for us. Like, put that on a physical list. And when someone says, tell me if you need anything, get that list out and show it to them and let them pick something out of it. We will all do these things. Just have concrete, like, if you have ideas of concrete things people can do, do not be shy. Because when people say, tell me if you need anything, they mean it.
They do. They mean it.
And then let people be your support.
Yes, do. For sure. Tiffany, you are going to be, I'm going to cry.
We almost made it through the whole episode.
You're going to be an amazing mom. We don't even need to do a tell me something good because, like, I'm just so proud of you. You're so far along in the world of early childhood education and knowing what children need that your child is going to have the best mama. It's going to be awesome. And I'm so excited to watch you go through this journey.
I can't wait for you to meet the hot mess. Like, he's going to come out and you're going to be like, whoop, I take it back.
Oh, tears. All right. Well,
I'm so lucky to have awesome friends like you two.
Yeah.
Savannah, I love
We're
you
so lucky
much.
To have you. I love you so much. We're
all crying. All right. Well, Tiffany and Savannah.
Well, Kristen and Savannah.
It's been fun.
We'll see you next time.
Q&A with TK and S. Bye.
This has been Q&A with T and K. Thank you for listening. From serious to silly, Tiffany and Kristen are eager to answer your questions. Just email them to q4tnk@gmail.com. That's q4tandk@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with another episode. Music by Kurt Pearsall, Tiffany's sweet, sweet hubby.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Oh.